Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I'm your host, Terrell.
In today's episode, I'm going to be reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which of course is the long-awaited sequel to 2018's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Just to give you a quick overview, I got to see Into the Spider-Verse prior to its official release back in 2018. So when I watched it, I was kind of free from any sort of expectation or any sort of hype because the general public hadn't seen it yet and a lot of critics hadn't seen it yet either. So there wasn't really that much word of mouth about the film out there at the time. So I got to really watch that film with fresh eyes and it caught me off guard and it caught a lot of people off guard. Of course, the film has become very popular since then and I think it's quite interesting to see how this film has managed to maintain a presence within pop culture and social media film discussion. And as more and more people discover it, more and more people love it, and that brings us to this point now, 5 years later, where this sequel's coming out and there's far more eyes on this film and there's far much more expectation upon this film than there ever was for that original film. And what I will just immediately say straight off the bat, this film delivers tenfold in a major way. Let me get started with the animation. The animation in Across the Spider-Verse is like a kaleidoscope of psychedelic visuals. There's a stunning variety of style and character within every frame of the animation in this film. A stunning use of color and different animation styles, some of which reflect the mood and emotion of a scene brilliantly. And that happens a lot, especially within the backgrounds of this film and how the different animated frames are lit against the characters. You know, you get a lot of scenes where a particular mood is being conveyed through the animation and the color palette of the whole frame to match what's occurring in the scene itself. And that happens so much in this film to a really brilliant level where it really informs what's going on within the story through the visuals, and it's simply fantastic to behold. And the animation is just completely engrossing. It will leave you transfixed. Now, I did watch this film high, and what I gotta say on that front is I can't remember the last time I've been that locked into a film. Like, my eyes were glued to the screen the whole time. My mind didn't even come close to drifting onto any other subject or any other thought in my mind except from what was going on in this film. I was fully immersed within the experience of this film, and what a phenomenal experience it was. And I think this is without a doubt up there with one of my all-time favorite cinema experiences, watching this film for the first time, and it's one I'm gonna remember. I'm always gonna remember watching Across the Spider-Verse for the first time. Now, aside from the animation, what really keeps this film at a really high level is the story. And Across the Spider-Verse has a surprisingly in-depth story that explores what it means to be Spider-Man / Spider-Woman in ways we haven't seen before, and it utilizes the multiverse to form an interesting story with compelling revelations and parallels. And like I said before, from start to finish, the film is entrancing. I believe this film's about 2 hours and 20 minutes, maybe 2 hours and 30 minutes long. It flew by. I did not feel the runtime at all. The pace was impeccable. It really went real quick. By the time the film ended, I was almost shocked because it didn't feel anywhere close to 2 hours, and I could have sat there for an extra 2 hours and experienced even more and been perfectly fine with it. I loved my time within that world, within that universe or universes experiencing this film. It was like a fever dream for a Spider-Man fan. It was an absolute dream to experience this film. Narratively, there's some interesting choices that are made because this film feels like Gwen's story almost just as much as it feels like Miles' story at times. You know, there is a focus on Gwen and what's going on with her, but it works, and I think it does a great job of developing her character and really shining a spotlight on her in a way that we haven't seen yet, even in the first film. There's a very lengthy and well-crafted build-up to Miles' first appearance in this film, and it's one of those things that's so finely tuned that by the time you finally see Miles in the film, it's just such a great moment because there's so much build-up towards it, and I love it when a film does that. And something else this film does very well in the beginning, the opening, I don't even know how long sequences. I'm going to say 15 minutes. It may be longer. Opening 15 minutes of this film occurs, and there's a lot of crazy shit going on, and you're kind of immediately drawn into this film with what's going on, and there's a lot going on, and it really just draws you in. But at a point, all of a sudden, the title card drops, and the opening credits start to roll. And when that happened in this film, it's one of those moments where a film has you so wrapped up and engrossed within it that you forget that there was no title sequence. And then when it finally slaps you with the title sequence, you're like, whoa, okay, we're just getting started. This is crazy. And that's what I felt with this film. The opening and the whole first act in general, I think, was really well handled from a narrative standpoint and in terms of engagement and how it engages you within the narrative and the characters and sets everything up for the rest of the story in a really interesting way to just keep you hooked. Now, I did say I'll keep this review spoiler free and I'll continue to do that, but let me just briefly speak upon the third act of this film, which is utterly gripping and introduces some insane concepts that will make you desperate to see the sequel, which is called Beyond the Spider-Verse, which thankfully is coming out next year. Thankfully, we do not have to wait another 5 years for this sequel, because the way this film ends, it would have been torture if we would have had to wait half a decade to see the continuation of it. This film got much wilder with its story slash multiverse concepts than I ever expected. They did things in this film that I just didn't even think about. Didn't even comprehend that they might do. The climax of Across the Spider-Verse is going to stick with me for a very long time. It caught me off guard in multiple ways. I was stunned by what was happening, and what they chose to do was genius. And like I said, I never considered they'd do something like what they do in the climax of this film. That level of ambition that is being shown by the creators here, the filmmakers, the animators in this film, is truly remarkable. This is like a peak. Sometimes people kind of, I don't like to be hyperbolic, and sometimes I feel like I can be when I talk about films. Sometimes, like, that I might say, this is the best thing of this that you will experience. This is the best thing of that that you'll experience. But you're going to hear a lot of people say this when it comes to Across the Spider-Verse, and I'm just going to say, believe them. This is easily one of the best animated films ever made. This is easily one of the best comic book films ever made. This is easily one of the best Spider-Man films ever made. This is easily one of the best Spider-Man stories ever told across all mediums. And in my personal opinion, and this is a very big thing for me to say this, I think at this current time, having watched Across the Spider-Verse last night and slept on it and woke up and it's been on my mind nonstop. I could barely even sleep last night. I was just thinking about the film nonstop. It got like 4 hours after I watched the film. I was up at 2 a.m. still thinking, like, what was that? Like, was that real? Like, that's insane. Like, I couldn't believe this film actually exists. But after giving so much thought to it in less than, you know, 24 hours of having watched it, I'm very confident in saying that I believe Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is the greatest Spider-Man film of all time. And for me to say that is very significant for me to say that. And the reason why it's significant for me to say that is because Spider-Man 2 had always been my favorite Spider-Man film and the one that I always considered to be the best. And with all the films that came out since, you know, the Amazing Spider-Man films, the Tom Holland MCU Spider-Man films, even the first Into the Spider-Verse film, with all those films coming out, I still stand by the fact that I believe there's not a single bad Spider-Man film. I don't think they've ever made a bad Spider-Man film. But with all those films that came out since, after Spider-Man 2, none of them touched it. And in my opinion, and in my eyes, Spider-Man 2 kind of felt untouchable. That had always been my favorite and what I considered to be the best Spider-Man film since 2004. And for the past 19 years, it's upheld that crown. But all I can say now, having watched this film, is that the crown has switched places. And it's Miles' second chapter that now holds the crown. This is like the quintessential comic book film, the ultimate comic book film in every sense of the word. When Across the Spider-Verse ended and the credits rolled, my whole audience erupted into cheers and applause. And that is a very rare thing to occur in British cinemas. Rarely happens outside of like fan screenings or like, you know, pre-release screenings and things like that. If you're sat in with a general audience, it rarely happens in the UK. And this was one of the loudest responses I've seen to a film ever in a cinema in the UK. Soon as those credits rolled, audible reaction from the audience at the ending, and then cheers and applause, and then just loud discussion. You could hear everyone discussing what they just witnessed. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the filmmaking experience right there, the cinema experience there. That's what I love about the cinema experience, that communal experience when you go into a cinema, you're surrounded by strangers and you experience something and you connect with something together as an audience. That is beautiful. And that's what this film provided. And that's one of the reasons why I'll never forget the experience of watching Across the Spider-Verse for the first time. And like I said, the final 20 minutes of this film, they're mind blowing, man. The final 20 minutes. This film, I'm not going to say, I can't say why, but the final 20 minutes of this film, just what they do, it gets so ambitious conceptually. I'm actually like shocked that they took it there. And then where they leave it for it to then feed into this next sequel that's going to come next year. I mean, this next film, Beyond the Spider-Verse, that might just be like a 2-hour third act. because there's a lot of development in this film. There's a lot of character work going on, and an impressive amount, actually. This film spends a lot of time focusing on the characters and developing the characters and their relationships. There's some great exploration of what it means to be a young adult trying to grow up and trying to branch out, and that kind of coming of age story. But then there's also like a parallel of that from the parent's perspective of coming of age and realizing that you've kind of almost got to let your child go. You've got to set them free. You've got to take the reins off them and allow them to become who they want to become. And those themes are so well explored in this film, but also other aspects that are so key to the character of Spider-Man and who Spider-Man is. It just explores it in such great depth. That's another reason why I believe this is the best Spider-Man film, because it does have that exploration of the character done really well. Across the Spider-Verse also expands upon Miles' origin story in such a smart way, and a way that felt really organic. The multiverse concept serves a really strong narrative purpose in this film as well, which is very important, because I'm one of those people now that's got to the point where I feel like everything's been so centered on cinematic universes, and this is Hollywood in general, cinematic universes, you know, interconnectivity, multiverses. There's a lot of that going on across multiple mediums at the moment, and it is getting a little tiresome, if I'm being honest. And I don't like to be just kind of fed fan service and things like that. I find it hard to separate when that happens sometimes. The fact of, I envision, say, the board meetings within Disney, and them saying, right, we're going to put this in there because it's going to appease this, and we're going to have this for this. And it almost like removes the kind of passionate, creative aspect of it, and it makes it feel more like a corporate product when these things are done wrong. But I'm so glad, and I was skeptical before watching this film, especially with how they marketed it, because they marketed this film so heavily on there being multiple Spider-Men and Spider-Women in the Spider Society. And that was like the key focus of the marketing. But in hindsight, I'm glad they did that, because they managed to use it as a smokescreen to prevent you from, you know, recognizing what the rest of the film was going to be doing. And it works in that regard. And like I said, the multiverse stuff really does serve a strong narrative purpose. Like it did in the first film as well, but even more so, a strong narrative purpose. And even the cameos in this film, there's a lot of spider people in this film, of course, the trailers make that clear. But there are quite a few moments where the film then spotlights a particular spider person or a particular moment. And those spotlighted cameos were surprising, and they were never too excessive, which is good. And they weren't there for the sake of it, because even those moments felt organic to the story, which I'm so thankful for, because if that didn't work, it could have derailed the film a bit for me, because it would have felt a bit too heavy-handed, but thankfully it's not. The story, like I said, focuses on emotion a lot, and I think I really do appreciate how much this film does delve into the emotion. And I'm just going to briefly speak about the third act again. I miss the days of film trilogies that are so narratively connected that it feels like one giant story told across three films. That's a rarity nowadays. It shouldn't be, but it is. You would have thought the recent Star Wars sequel trilogy would have been exactly that, a trilogy that was planned from the beginning with one big narrative split across three films. But Disney even failed to do it with that, and that was to the trilogy's detriment, because the story was all over the place in that trilogy, and it was not cohesive at all. If I think back to the early 2000s and some of the big blockbusters that I grew up on, and the big films, the Lord of the Rings films, which are my favorite films of all time, of course that was adapted from a book, but still, that trilogy, one big through line, one big narrative. If you watch one film on its own, you're kind of getting a chunk of the story, not the full thing. But then the experience of watching those films, especially at the time they released, was you watch one, you get to the end, and you're kind of left hanging. And then you've got like a year to discuss and theorize and to be excited before you see the continuation. Another film that did that really well is the original Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy, which I think is very underrated, especially part two and part three. Those films, I think, well, I'm saying that the first film was a bit more final with its ending, a bit more concrete, because at the time, that's all they thought they would be doing. It's the first film. They didn't know how successful it was going to be. By the time Dead Man's Chest came out, that film had one hell of a cliffhanger ending with Barbossa re-emerging and seemingly being on the good side now. That was a great cliffhanger ending. That's probably one of the best blockbuster cliffhanger endings that there's ever been. Because I remember watching that back in 06 and it being a really shocking moment, and then it cuts to black and you're like, what? And then you had to wait to the following year to see At World's End to see it continue. That type of experience that is generated from those type of endings is very rare these days, and it's a real shame. But I'm happy to report that Across the Spider-Verse is operating on that level, and I'm grateful for it. So the way that this film ends didn't bother me at all, but the nature of its ending, which is a cliffhanger, because this is like a part one of a two-part story with these sequels. That's how they were originally announced. It was Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 and Part 2, and then they changed the names. So it's kind of like an Infinity War Endgame kind of situation going on here. So it does have one of those type of endings, but it didn't bother me at all because it nails the dramatic impact. You can get you can build to such a crescendo with an ending like that if you do it correctly, and this film did that. And because of that, this is going to be an ending that's going to stick with me for a very long time. I'm going to think about it a lot, but also I'm going to hold it in really high regard. And also, it's an ending that helped generate that type of response that I was talking about in the cinema when the credits started rolling, because it was so impactful. And it felt like when you read a comic and there's like a shocking moment / revelation at the end of the issue, and then you got to wait a month to find out what happens in the next issue. It like perfectly recreated that feeling through the medium of film, and I'm just grateful for the ending. I think, you know, some people might have issues with it, but I loved it. I just want to make that clear. I loved the ending and how they handled it. The script is fantastic. Like I said, the way it explores the characters, multiple characters in this film, in a really in-depth way, whether it be Gwen, whether it be Miles, whether it be Miles' parents, other spider characters that you encounter, there's a lot of detail and depth going on within that script, and it's very character-focused, and I appreciate that a lot. All the characters that it does bring in and shine a spotlight on, I think it does a really good job with, and it's a very funny film as well. The humor is very good, very on point with the humor. It's funny throughout, very entertaining in that regard. But yeah, like I said, some of the characters that it introduces left a really strong impression on me. One that I was really excited to see was Hobie, aka Spider-Punk, voiced by Daniel Kaluuya. I know he was doing his natural Camden accent for this character because the character was originated from Camden in this film. And I love that character, man. And the animation for Spider-Punk was phenomenal. The animation style that they had for him specifically was fantastic. And I think I read an article the other day that said that it took them 2 to 3 years to just do that alone. But it paid off. And he was in the film a lot more than I thought he would. And yeah, I thought Daniel Kaluuya killed that role. And it was so cool for me, being such a big Spider-Man fan my whole life, to see not only a black Spider-Man, which of course Miles is, but a black British Spider-Man who has an afro, who has a nose ring, who loves music. That is like me, a reflection of me. And to see that was real cool. And like the design of him when he doesn't have his mask on felt very reminiscent of Afro Samurai. Felt very inspired by that style in terms of the design. But I love that character. Another character in the film, forgot his actual name, but Spider-Man India from, they called this location, Mumbatan? Something like that is how they call Manhattan in his realm. Of course, trying to combine New York and India. He left a strong impression as well. He was very funny, the Indian Spider-Man. Really like that character as well. And then you've got Miguel, obviously Spider-Man 2099, played by Oscar Isaac. And like I said, the voice work across the board in this film is fantastic from all the actors. Oscar Isaac was fantastic. I loved the presence that this character had. Whenever he was on screen, you felt it, and he kind of had you on edge. Yeah, really great performance from Oscar Isaac here. As that character, and where they take that character was very interesting. You've also got the character The Spot, which I forgot the actor's name who voices him, but he sounds like Ryan Reynolds. The whole time I was thinking, I know this isn't Ryan Reynolds, but it sounds like Ryan Reynolds. But the voice work that he did with The Spot, fantastic. Really great, because that character in the beginning is very clumsy as he's trying to learn and understand his powers. As the film progresses, things develop into a much more sinister direction, and when it goes in that direction, it's believable. And when you understand the character's motivations for why he's doing it and how that ties into other things, that works really well narratively. But also just the presence of that character as things go on starts to become much more intimidating, and that worked really well for this story. And that goes for like all the characters. That's another aspect of the story and the script that I think works exceptionally well in this film, is that all the motivations of the characters make a lot of sense. And they're not just singular either, in the sense that it's not just singular motivations from individual characters that's not connected to anything else. All of their motivations are kind of linked in to the already existing narrative from the previous film. And then as it feeds into this narrative of this film, they're connected to elements of this film as well. In other ways, and it's all kind of centered around the multiverse. And this is where what I mean when I say that the multiverse story serves a strong purpose in this film, because all the characters are tied to it in differing ways that are compelling, but the multiverse is at the center of it. So you couldn't actually have these films without the multiverse component, because all the character strands would collapse. It's really, really well made. It's really well thought out, well intricately made, and that goes into what I said about the first film as well, and how this film expands upon the first film, because Miles's origin in that first movie and things centered around that and information we were told in that first movie, it comes back within this movie in interesting ways, and they use it as a springboard to present some really insane concepts, especially within that third act. And I'm just floored by what they achieved with this film and the fact that they managed to do what they did. I don't think, you know, I think people were expecting, or I anyway, was expecting fantastic visuals, fantastic animation. That was a given. But I think what they did here narratively is equally as impressive. And that's why I have to stress this is probably the best Spider-Man film ever made, because it's got the animated side of it and it feels like the ultimate comic book movie translation. But then the narrative is just firing on all cylinders as well. And it's a real exceptional achievement. It's a real piece of art, if I'm being honest. It really is a piece of art. And I was thoroughly entertained by this film, thoroughly impressed, and as a Spider-Man fan, it's like a wet dream. To keep it simple, it's literally like that. And yeah, that's Across the Spider-Verse. I mean, it's hard to talk about, if I'm being honest. It's hard to talk about, because this film genuinely left me speechless. And I know as the days go by, there's going to be more things I think of and more things I'm probably going to want to say about the film that I didn't mention here. But I feel like this is the right place to kind of leave it, because there's a lot to take in and there's a lot to process with this film, but I loved every aspect of it, and there's not a single flaw I could give. No way. I can't. There's not a single flaw. This is a flawless film. It really is. It's a flawless film. But yeah, that's my review of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I can't wait to see this again. I'm going to see this multiple times, without a doubt. This film is exceptional. And like I said, the animation is like a kaleidoscope of psychedelic imagery. It explores what it means to be Spider-Man in compelling new ways. The final 20 minutes are mind-blowing, and you know, the concepts they introduce and explore are just... And the music, the score is fantastic. Sound design's excellent. The soundtrack that Metro Boomin did for the movie and how those songs implement into the film fit really well. Like, every aspect of this film is like 10 out of 10. And that's such a rare thing. That's a rare thing in general. But to have a film that was already operating on that level with its first installment, and then to release a sequel that surpasses it in every single way like that, man, that's rare, man. We're witnessing something special with this film, I'm telling you. We need to appreciate it. And I know people are appreciating it, but we are witnessing something special with this film. If they can bring it home with the third installment and maintain this level of quality, man, you're looking at one of the best trilogies of all time. Not just best comic book trilogies, best trilogies of all time. Because this film's setting a standard, man. This film's insane. Yeah, I ain't got nothing else to say. I ain't got nothing else to say. Like, yeah, I'm just so impressed and I'm so happy. And every Spider-Man fan is going to be happy with this film, man. How could you be a Spider-Man fan and not be happy with what you see in this film and how it explores the characters and how it understands the fundamentals of the character of Spider-Man and translates it perfectly in this film? Man, what an experience, man. It's one of those films that just make you sit back and you just think to yourself, like, man, I love movies, man. I love superheroes. I love Spider-Man, man. Crazy, crazy. But yeah, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is a piece of art, in my opinion. The mediums of comics and films have collided into a piece of perfect art. And this is the ultimate comic book film in every sense of the word. Visually, narratively, in terms of the characters, in terms of everything. Anyway, I'm gonna stop talking. But yeah, you're gonna watch this film anyway. You don't need my recommendation. I imagine you're only here just to hear what I thought about it anyway. So I've given my thoughts. Enjoy the movie when you watch it, because I know you're gonna watch it. And I'll speak to you guys in the next episode. Thank you for listening to this review. And if you're new here, make sure you follow this podcast on your respective platform so you don't miss any future episodes. And yeah, enjoy the movie however many times you watch it, because it's phenomenal. And can't wait for the next one. I'll speak to you guys in the next episode.